Before we start, there is a special hymn in the same melody of Blessed are those who have mercy. Actually, it was written alphabetic in Arabic, unfortunately, and in Arabic, but they couldn't put it the same in English. However, we'll sing one in Arabic and one in English, and you can sing with us some parts of it. أنت يا رب تعطيني أغراضي وتمحو ذنبي وإثمي الماضي وتشفيني من أمراضي نينان فنوتي نينان ألي وانزاد عمرك سترو ذا ستار appears its light is shining like the light of Saint John the righteous. Have mercy, O God, and have mercy. تلاميذ يسوع كانوا سبعين كسبعين نخلة موجودين في نص ناموس موسى معدودين نينان فنوتيو نينان كريس غادر his disciples like 70 palms grown from pure wells, wells from which river run. Have mercy, O God, and have mercy. حلت البايع على المينا ومن دمه وجسده يفدينا ومن ينبوعه يروينا نينان فنوتيو نينان ذا لمس بعد أن دادوس سيف ذا people from destruction. The sun saved us with his blood. Have mercy, O God, and have mercy. دخل موسى بين الجبلين بين طور سينا ورافازين والله له المجد أعطى لوحين نينان افنوتيو نينان. Ten commandments on two tablets observed in both testaments. This law is the Lord's demand for us. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we have the third session of our series about our Christ is above all ages. Our Christ is above all ages. Last time we had three symbols, right? Last time we had three symbols, and today we'll try to have another two symbols. Do you remember what symbols we had last week? They were three. What was the symbol in the Old Testament? Crossing the Red Sea. And then the praise, the victorious praise, which is the first canticle, Exodus 15, right? And then also we took the water of the rock of Horeb, which was bitter, and Moses guided by God through a tree, a piece of wood, and it changed the bitter waters into a sweet one. Now we took studied the symbols or meditate on the symbols one by one. Today, if we have time, God willing, we will have another three symbols from the Old Testament, which was fulfilled by the Lord, our Jesus Christ, and his incarnation. The first one is the manna. Well, you know the manna, of course. And the second one was, the third symbol last week was not the rock of Horeb, it was the Elim lake, in which was bitter waters, and it was known as Elim. It was like a lake, but the water was bitter. So the first symbol today is about the manna. The second is the rock from which the water flew. And also we will have the copper serpent. Number one, the manna. When they went to the wilderness of Sinai, they did not have any food, of course. It's a wilderness. For them, it was the first time to be in this place. And second, There was no plants, no food, nothing. So they complained. They complained against Moses. And they said to him, how come that you bring us to this place in which we don't find any food? So the Lord in Exodus 16, right after they praised the Lord, said to him, after they, in verse 2, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So let us meditate about this manna. The manna was described by the Lord in 14, when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take from those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So, when the people of Israel in the New Testament searched for our Lord Jesus Christ on the next day of feeding them from 5 loaves and 2 fish, he said to them, you are searching for me not because you saw miracles or wonders and believed, but because you ate and you were full or filled. Work from the food which does not perish, but the everlasting food. They said, what it is? Then he replied, in John 6, open John 6, please. I know that you have your Bibles with you. John 6, one of the most important chapters, probably in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, sorry. In 48 to 51. The Jews sent complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Then in 48, he said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread of which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So it's very clear. The manna in the Old Testament means the true body of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Let us compare now. Number one, the manna was rained from heaven. Yes, he said, I will rain. And our Lord Jesus Christ is coming from heaven. Number two, the manna was not known to the children of Israel, and they said, who it is? Who is it? We don't know it. And also, our Lord Jesus Christ was not real known from most of the people. Most of the people. Until St. Paul himself in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 and 8, 1 Corinthians, he said to them about this fact that most of them did not recognize him in verse 7 and 8. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they were certain that he was the Lord of glory, they would have not crucified him. This is number two. Number three, the manna was falling between the tents of Israel. Yes? And this is what happened. The Lord came to live between the people as a normal person. Not only normal, but less than normal person. He was very poor financially. Although he's the creator of everything, but he put himself in this situation to be among all the people. Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was perished. In Luke 19:10. Also, although the manna was falling between the tents, but everyone had to go, and take for every member of his family a certain measure called Amr, or Amr. We say Amr. It's like, مثلاً, يسموا ايه ادح بالعربي measure, one of the measures, كيلة ادح حاجة كده, certain measure. He said take this measure and count the number of the members of the family and take for each one measure, do not take more. We'll come to this, but let us say, number three means that the manna was on the ground, and those who wanted it must go and take themselves. It means that Jesus Christ has come here to every one of us. But those who seek for him, those who come in need of him will take. So the Lord who created you without you will not save you without you. This is what St. Augustine said. The Lord who created you without, who created you without you, will not save you without you. You have to go and say, I want this manna. Otherwise, it will be remaining on the ground and no one will may benefit from him. Number four, the manna was sent to the children of Israel after they complained. And then the Lord solved this problem through his gentleness when he came, when he sent the manna from heavens to solve the problem between Moses and the children of Israel, all even between the children of Israel and God himself. They complained against God. So it is the same that the coming down from heaven of our Lord Jesus Christ was mainly because of great love to mankind. That's why we do believe that unless he was loving the world and still loves the world so much, he would have never incarnate or thought of saving us. Number five. Everyone was taking just for his need. That's why the Lord said, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for the righteousness, for they will be filled. So everyone would take a measure, and this measure was very good for him, and he will not be in need of anything else. And they lived years and years on this manna, which was filling them day by day by day by day. Number six. Sorry? Almost 40. Because just before that, they complained because the manna, they didn't like it, and then they asked it for the salwa, the birds, which came after that, when we come to it. But here, the manna was with them for years. Number six, the people must have gone or used to go every morning, early in the morning, with the first sunrise ray. So it means two things. Number one, we need to renew our need to him day by day. It's not enough to know him once and pray with him and that's it. So we need to say, if our relationship with each other continues and is renewed day by day, how come about the Lord? You remember the story which I told you a couple of weeks ago about the wife who asked for divorce after 32 years of marriage from her husband. A wife asked for divorce after 32 years of marriage. And then the judge called her and he said, what's wrong with him? Was he tight? She said, no. Did he cheat you? She said, no. Did he smack you or hurt you? She said, no. Then the judge asked her, then what's wrong? Why do you what do you want to divorce him? She said, he never says to me, I love you. He said it once in 32 years. And then The judge said, okay. And then he called the husband and he said, your wife is acting for divorce, wants divorce. And she said that there is nothing wrong except one thing, that you did never say to her, I love you, except once. He said, yes, she is right. When we were engaged, I said to her, I love you. And since then, I have never changed my mind. I'm still loving her. I have not changed my mind. Then the judge said, oh, it's enough. Not enough to say it once, and because you did not change your mind, you don't say to her every day, every occasion, every time that I love you. So we do the same with God. We pray and we say, okay, he knows that we love him. Is it enough? So the manna was falling, raining from above to the ground, and everyone in the morning used to go and take his portion, take his, what did he say? He called it, anyhow, his portion. I'm searching in the New Testament. So, Exodus. Everyone was taking just what he needs day by day. Okay? Number 7. The children of Israel must have gone early in the morning. Why? Why? Before the sun rises and melts the manna on the ground, while it is still cold, early in the morning, before the sun of the temptation comes to you. Spiritually, it means that you have to be early in the morning before going through the hours of the day in which the sun of temptation may attack you, may hurt you. And you need to have your portion from the bread of life early in the morning. That's why the Lord said, those who come early to me will find me. الذين يبكرون إلي يجدونني. In the psalm also, we say, oh, يا الله إلهي إليك أبكر. Because, ليه؟ لأن نفسي عطشت إليك. Oh God, my Lord, to you I come early, because my soul is thirsty to you. Number 8. It tastes like goulash, something like goulash. Huh? With honey. وبنقول عن يسوع إيه؟ فمه حلاوة وكله مشتهيات. His mouth is sweet. Very sweet. In the Song of Songs 5:16. Number 9. They used to grind the manna because it was like the coriander, but coriander, not grounded. So you, they kuspar, they hugul kuspar. But they used to grind it, and then to يدقوه بالهوم كده حاجة حمر to make it powder and then to cook it and then to eat it. These were symbols of the passions that our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. That's why when we eat him, he said, whoever eats me will live. I mean, من يأكلني يحيى. Number 10. When the people complained in the book of Numbers 11:33, when they complained on the manna, and they despised it, then the Lord bit them, punished them. It's exactly like those who eat the body and drinks the body, that blood, unworthiness. We have to be worthy. It's not good to eat, to receive the Holy Communion, while our hearts are not clean and pure towards God, or towards his creation, towards our brothers and sisters, or when I am not worthy to receive the Holy Communion, it becomes a punishment to me rather than a blessing for me. That's why St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:13 said, therefore, many of you are weak and sick, and many of you fell down, pass away. Number 11. When we look at the people of Israel in the wilderness, try to describe them. So the sand of the wilderness was hot, affecting their feet. But every day they had to look towards heaven, waiting for the manna raining from heaven on them to take it. So it means, although we live under temptation, under the attacks of Satan, under the bad situation sometimes, persecutions, difficulties, but we look above, towards heaven, asking for the bread of life to help us, to save us, to defend us, and to bless our life. We'll speak about that tomorrow, about when we explain the prodigal son. Number 12, which is the last point in the comparison. This food was available to everyone, the poor and the rich, the man and the woman. Yes? The old man and the child. No difference. But all of them take the same food. This is what we do in the Holy Communion. In the liturgy, we don't put the rich first, and then the poor. We don't put the strong people first, and then the weak. No. If we start here and then continue here, it's a matter of organizing, but not discrimination against ladies. No, it's just one of the organizing services in the church. But at the end, every one of them takes Every one of us takes the same food. Takes the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's why the Lord also is given to us through the new manna. He is the true bread of life. That's why he said to his the disciples and the people, it's not Moses who gave you the manna from heaven. It's the Father who gives you the true bread of life from heaven to save you and to give you life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Live everlasting life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will live. Will live forever. I will raise him up on the last day. Okay? This is number one, the manna. You understand now that the comparison between the manna in the Old Testament and the true bread of life in the New Testament. Number two, Horeb rock, on the rock of Horeb. They went to from the wilderness of places called Sin, and they went to Rephidim, and in Rephidim there was no water. Again they complained against Moses and said to him, "Oh, we don't have, we'll die from thirsty." And they were going almost to stone him. And then Moses prayed to the Lord and he said, "Why, my Lord? Why did you do that to me? Why did you do that to your people? You bring them to a place in which there is water." And then the Lord said, "Don't worry. You remember the rod that you put in the Red Sea? Take the same rod. This rod is called the rod of God. Asallah, the rod of God." He said to him, "Take this rod and stand before the rock in Horeb, and then beat it." Exodus 17. Number 5. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river." He means here not the river, it's the Red Sea. "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." I will repeat it again. I will repeat this again. And let you explain to me, please. I will read it word by word. Concentrate with me. He said, "I will stand before you there. I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." Can you explain to me? Close your eyes. No, don't close your eyes. Look behind me. In Arabic? I repeat again. Time. "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. Look here, look here, look here. And you are? Huh? Yeah. The rock, where is the rock? Yeah. According to the order of God to Moses, here is the rock. The Lord stood here. Moses struck the rock. The water flew. Across, the rock was symbolizing or resembling Jesus Christ, and his presence on the rock assures or proves that he was Jesus Christ. Then Moses struck the cross. Mamduh bi'ul, the spear to his right hand. Yeah, when he pierced it, then the water flew. What is the rock? Jesus Christ. What is the water? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Lord in St. John 7:8, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. When did it happen? It happened when the chief priest used to repeat the miracle here. They used at the feast of this day to bring a thin, very thin layer copper vessel full of water, and the chief priest struck it, and the water flew, to remember that the Lord gave them water from Horeb. Then the Lord was on the other side. Then he cried out in a loud voice and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. I am the true rock of Horeb. I am the man who was struck, or will struck for you on the cross, to give you the true water of life. Because St. John explained it. After that, he said that about the Holy Spirit, which was being to be given to them, because the Lord was not glorified yet. قال هذا عن الروح الذي كان المؤمنون به مزمعين ان نلو لان الروح لم يكن قد اعطي بعد, because the Holy Spirit was not given yet, because the Son of Man was not glorified yet on the cross. There is nothing new happened in the Old Testament, clearly. Unfortunately, one day St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, he said something very strange. He said that this rock was moving with them. This rock was not fixed. This rock was moving with them. مش كده؟ يعني أيوة, الجميع شربوا من صخرة تابعتهم. يعني أهو هنشوفها دلوقتي. In 1 Corinthians 10, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Wonderful. So, as if the trip of children of Israel in the wilderness was exactly a full resembling for figure and picture of the New Testament after the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can consider ourselves now live in the wilderness of Sinai. We live in the wilderness of Sinai now. We were baptized, yes, in the Red Sea. When we are hungry, we have the bread of life. When we are thirsty, we have the Holy Spirit in us to work in our hearts. So we don't need the food of the world. We don't need the water of the world. It means that we are not in need of the pleasures of the world. The perish food, the perish water. But we need the everlasting food and the life-giving water, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay? One day, unfortunately, there was no water from the rock. He used to hit the rock just once. And then one day there was no water from the rock. And then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, speak to the people before the rock, speak to the people. Before the rock, and I will give you. So, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck. Rock, disobeying the Lord. And then, of course, no water came. And then Moses was a little bit nervous, and he struck the rock again. Then a huge amount of water flew, so as not to put Moses in difficulty before the children of Israel. But at the same time, he destroyed the prophecy, because the salvation of the Lord means one cross. Once he went to the holies, once, and there was everlasting salvation, everlasting redemption. So the Lord punished him, and he said, because he did not give glory for me before the people, you will not enter the promised land. You will die before entering the promised land. This is what happened as a punishment to Moses, because he, destroyed I'm searching for the English word, huwa bawas in the bow. Wasted. Because the prophecy means that the cross is once. Must be done once. And the crucifying of our Lord Jesus Christ was enough for the salvation of the whole world, before and after him, until the end of ages. نعم سمية. ربنا قال لهم كلمة الصخرة قدام الشعب وأنا هتطلع الماية. بدل ما يكلموها راح ضرب البتاع. وبعدين ما جاتش ماية. فراح ضربها تاني. ربنا عشان ما يكسفوش قدام الشعب نزل الماية، لكن عشان هو بوظ النبوة. النبوة معناها إنها خبطة واحدة. ودي حصلت في الأول وخلاص. Every time they used to speak to the rock to get water, And this water was flowing, giving them everywhere. Because he did it once in the very beginning. But because he hit it again or stuck it again, it was the wasting of the prophecy. That the Lord pushed Taman twice, Martin. Moses what? As a symbol that we speak to God whenever we want. We don't, not every time we need him, we'll not crucify him again. He was crucified once. And then we pray for him and that's it. The effect of the cross is once. Once. And that's it. So we don't need to hit him again. So if any, this is the meaning. This is the meaning. So, and then when he did that, he said, do you want us to bring you, to get you water from the rock? As if he is doing it from him. But no one can save me. No one can save me. Nor priest, nor bishop, nor patriarch, nor angel, nor archangel, nor human can save me. Nor Saint Mary of God. She cannot save me. She intercedes me. But she doesn't redeem me. The only redeemer is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the rock. Only. You understand the idea? And the difference between number three. No, that's it. It's 8:30 now. So unfortunately, we didn't have time for number three. But we'll have it next time, God willing. Do you have any question before we end? It's now 8:30. I didn't. Sorry, I passed my time a little bit. But these studies or meditations are very important to know that we have roots from the Old Testament. It's nothing new we have or invented by people or someone, mind of someone put it for us. No, it was from the very beginning that the Lord declared how it was going in the Old Testament to speak about the Lord. That's why a few months ago when we started in September the new series of the Holy Bible, we said the scriptures are concentrated on one idea. The Old Testament speaking about the salvation of the Lord to us, and the New Testament is the fulfillment of this salvation. And that's it. That's why you don't believe that there are different religions in the whole world. This is a destructive idea. There is nothing called different religions in the whole world. There is nothing. It's only when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, then he put them out until he finds the solution. When he found the solution, he will bring us again, but not to the paradise of joy, but to the kingdom of heavens. And that's it. I can't say this is Judaism, this is Christianity, this is Islam, this is Buddhism, this is Hinduism. No. These are men hand. But not God's hand. You understand? مش حاجة اسمها أديان. أديان إيه؟ ما فيش حاجة اسمها أديان يا ممدوع. مش حاجة اسمها كده. ربنا وعد آدم ووضى بالبشرية لغاية لما يتجسد وخلص الخلاص. تمم الخلاص على الصليب وأصبح في الوقت اللي آمن به يدخل السماء. اللي ما آمنش به حر. بس. I repeat what I said. So there is no religion. The Lord promised Adam and Eve with the salvation, and he prepared the whole mankind for this salvation. As of his incarnation until his ascension into heavens, he fulfilled his promise. Now, whoever accepts the Lord Jesus Christ will enter the kingdom of heaven. Simply, whoever refuses him, it's his problem. It's his life, his choice. لكن مش هنقول بقى أصل the good people from this religion may go to heaven. The good people from it's something worthless. Without shedding of blood, there is no salvation. And the shedding of blood happened by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not fanaticism, it's fact. This is what happened. And this is what the promise of our Lord to us was and is and will be. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Make us worthy. Pray to you. Thank you for you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.